2026 is turning out to be a difficult year for many Utah farmers and ranchers. Weather in the West has settled back into a drought pattern, and many who depend on irrigation water are looking at reduced allocations after a warm winter that didn't drop as much snow in the mountains as we usually get. Welcome to Cows, Plows, and Things That Grow, the Utah Farm Bureau podcast. I'm Dan Bomas. Along with limited water resources, many of the other costs farmers and ranchers have to pay have increased dramatically this year. Today, we'll hear from Utah State University Extension agronomist Earl Creech about strategies farmers can use to make it through a difficult year.
Well, it just means that farmers need to sharpen their pencils. It means that we need to kind of dig down on what we really need in order to grow a crop and to be productive and to try to figure out how to make the margins pencil out.
Troy Forrest is deputy commissioner with the Utah Department of Agriculture and Food. He's been going around the state meeting with farmers who need to adapt their operations when water is scarce. And he says there is one crop that will help them do it.
People underestimate alfalfa. Alfalfa came out of the Middle East. It is a very, very drought-adapted plant. The amazing thing about it is when alfalfa has water, it'll grow and grow prolifically and quickly, quicker than just about anything. And when it doesn't have water, it'll just kind of persist.
First, let's hear from Professor Creech, who says this year we're dealing with both natural and man-made difficulties.
It's tough on water. Water's going to be tight. A lot of the forecasts are that people are going to have little to no irrigation water. The precipitation that's fallen in the mountains is low, and so we can expect less feed up there. It's going to be tough that way. But then the cost of inputs like fuel, fertilizer, equipment, land, everything just seems to keep going up.
Is it a temporary situation then? The drought has been going on a long time with the occasional breaks, but right now, of course, we're in a conflict situation that has raised the price of oil and things derived from oil.
My crystal ball is quite cloudy when it comes to future events, and it's really hard to say what's going to happen. But yeah, we've been dealing with the droughts for a lot of years, and who knows when we may see the light at the end of the tunnel there. And then when you start to deal with these international conflicts and the ramifications those have on agricultural inputs, it's really hard to know when that type of pressure will let up.
Now, one of the biggest crops that is grown in Utah is, of course, alfalfa hay. Does not require nitrogen fertilizer as many other crops do, or at least not as much. But what is affecting the farmers who are raising that?
Alfalfa growers, of course, you're right, do not have the requirement of applying nitrogen fertilizer, but there are other kinds of fertilizers that alfalfa does require, things like phosphorus and potassium that are really important for its growth. And of course, it requires water, and it also requires quite a bit of fuel because of the different harvest operations that we undergo to grow that crop.
And how will that limit farmers from what would normally be a good production year?
Well, it just means that farmers need to sharpen their pencils. It means that we need to kind of dig down on what we really need in order to grow a crop and to be productive and to try to figure out how to make the margins pencil out.
Does that mean fewer cuttings, for example?
Could receive fewer cuttings if water is limited, but if there's water, I would expect we should receive a normal amount of cuttings. In fact, crops right now are a little bit ahead of schedule, just due to the fact that we had a warm winter, and crop growth seemed to start a little bit earlier in the spring and even continue a little bit later into the fall.
So, is it possible that we'll see some fallowed fields or alternative crops being grown this year?
Yeah, it's definitely something that we would expect to see. So when water's short, you can certainly pull water off of one field and concentrate it onto another, and maybe really double up your water to try to help at least get some productive field. But you also could see shift to a crop that requires less water, like a small grain crop like wheat or barley or oats typically requires less water because it's a shorter season crop. We typically harvest that in say May, June, or July, and so we don't need a full season of water for that. So that's definitely a way to cut back on inputs.
We don't grow a lot of soybeans in Utah, quite a lot of corn, though, and other grains. And will that affect the overall production of those?
Yes. If you don't have water, you can't grow corn. And so anywhere where a farmer is afraid they won't have full season irrigation, they're going to have to pull away from corn and move into some other crop or leave the land fallow. But those are crops that are also fairly intensive in terms of fertilizer needs, like corn, for example, requires a lot of fertilizer. And if a person can't make the numbers pencil out to apply the amount of nitrogen that corn needs, then probably shouldn't grow corn this year.
If you have livestock, though, the livestock need to be fed no matter what. And if you're not growing the feed, you have to buy it. And that's becoming a bigger problem as well.
Yeah, the one bright spot, I guess, in the agricultural economy has been the beef industry, because the prices have been pretty high. But then you start looking at how this year is shaping up with reduced snowpack, reduced rainfall. We can expect less feed up on the mountain. And when more people are and then with less hay being grown, with less harvested forages that would feed those cattle, or less of those are being produced, we're going to see a tightening market and maybe higher prices. So maybe it's going to be more difficult to get feed for livestock.
Dairy, on the other hand, hasn't benefited from the same high prices that the beef industry has.
No, things are really, really tough in dairy. And I know I've been drinking as much milk and eating as much ice cream as I can, but I'm not quite sure what's going on there with the market. But it's really, really, it's really tough to be a dairyman right now.
Poultry has feed costs, but they can adjust the size of their production perhaps more quickly than other livestock.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The size of those operations can go up and down pretty quick compared to a beef operation. So yeah, they have the ability to adjust. And those operations are mostly feeding grains like corn and wheat. So yeah, but yeah, they still require feed. They still require inputs.
When a farmer makes a change in what they're producing, though, so they have to gear up for that. They need different equipment and perhaps they don't have the experience level that they had with something else.
When considering an alternative crop, there's a couple things to think about. One is, do you have the equipment to do it? And so often the alternative crops that we grow are going to use the similar equipment to what we would typically use whether it's a combine, whether it's a swather and a baler. But we typically match our equipment to an alternative crop. And anything beyond that is usually pretty cost prohibitive to gear up for some new crop like potatoes or something that's really out of the ordinary. The other thing to think about with an alternative crop is you have to have a market for it. So you can't just see a crop and say, I'd really like to grow that, or boy, I think I could make some money at that, because you have to look at where you're going to sell it. And unfortunately, in Utah, there's not a lot of markets for some of these alternative oil seeds and alternative grains in order to give our farmers a ton of extra options.
How is this hitting smaller farmers, people who are producing for farmers markets or doing specialty crops?
I think it's definitely hitting all agricultural producers. Anybody that buys inputs, this is going to be affecting, because when you have high fuel prices, it's going to affect your transport. And these smaller farmers are going to have usually a lot of fuel inputs where they're hauling produce to different outlets. And so, yeah, it's going to affect everybody. And whether it's big or small, I think everybody's equally going to be pressed for trying to find ways to pencil out their the bottom line here this year.
Where do farmers go for help then?
There's a lot of options. So one is your crop input providers, your local agronomists that have a lot of experience and would really have their arms wrapped around the costs and different products that might be on the table. I think you've got your University Extension, Utah State University Extension Service, which is what I am. I'm an extension agronomist, and so I deal in that world of taking the latest and greatest research from the university and taking it out to the farmers and ranchers of Utah. So there can be a lot of resources there with publications and new data on products and how they perform. And I think you can get a lot from just talking to your neighbors and figuring out what other people are doing. But I think at this time, everybody needs to kind of pull together and just try to find ways that everyone can be profitable and stay in business and live to farm another year.
How can an organization like Farm Bureau help with that?
Well, Farm Bureau has been outstanding in their ability to advocate for farmers and to provide resources for farmers. And so I think behind the scenes, Farm Bureau is always going to bat for what we need in agriculture, and they do a great job.
Let me pivot just a little bit here. Can we get specific on fertilizer prices? What kinds of price increases are we looking at for different types of fertilizer?
Yeah, and I think with what we're seeing back in the Middle East, the primary fertilizer input that's seeing an effect is nitrogen. That's an area with a lot of natural gas. They make a lot of nitrogen fertilizer, and it's shipped throughout the world. Most of that does not come to the U.S. It goes to other markets like India and China, but it's causing our prices to go up because it's all part of the world market. And so when one part of the world market is short, the fertilizer that's produced here in the U.S. or in Canada that typically sustains our market can become higher priced because it's higher priced throughout the world. So nitrogen's the area where it's gone up the most, and what the price is today, I don't know, but it's definitely higher than it was. But we're also seeing a little bit of an effect too on some of the other fertilizer sources like phosphorus, potassium, sulfur, those kind of things. Everything just kind of seems to be interconnected.
What do consumers need to understand then about the situation that farmers are in? Do we need to expect higher food prices, or do you need to be a little smarter in the way that you shop and bring food into your home?
Yeah, I think it's important that everybody realize that what happens on the farm impacts what we see on the on the shelves at stores. And that's just because if farmers produce less feed because of the cost of inputs or the lack of water or whatever it is we're facing, the reduced amount of product on the market is going to have an effect on prices in the store. And so we would expect things to be a little bit higher. But know that farmers are doing everything they can to produce as much as they can, that's high quality, and that helps meet the needs of the market. But we're just constrained by these factors that are outside of our control with the weather and with international conflicts.
Dr. Earl Creech is a professor and extension agronomist at Utah State University in Logan. When we come back, we'll hear from Troy Forrest with the Utah Department of Agriculture and Food about his meetings with farmers across the state and some new tools to help them plan for a challenging year.
Attention, Utah Farm Bureau members. We've teamed up with Benefit Hub to bring you a bigger and better benefits platform. Now you'll get access to all your favorite Farm Bureau discounts, plus thousands more, from shopping and dining to travel and entertainment at over a million locations, locally, nationally, and internationally. Getting started is easy. Download the new app, explore the savings, and start enjoying more for less. Visit utahfarmbureau.org/member-benefits to learn more. Your membership just got even more rewarding.
You're listening to Cows, Plows, and Things That Grow from the Utah Farm Bureau. Troy Forrest is Deputy Commissioner of the Utah Department of Agriculture and Food. When I spoke to him, He'd just made the long drive from Green River in eastern Utah to his home in Tremonton after one in a series of meetings with farmers and ranchers around the state. And while they're facing difficulties keeping their operations going this year, Forrest says the state is helping with new tools to help them plan ahead. When you meet with farmers and others in these meetings around the state, what are they telling you?
You know, some of them say, we just wish we could fast forward this year. We know how hard it's going to be, and we wish we could just hit the VCR button that fast forwards life and go through this. But they know it's going to be hard, and they're looking for any help that they can find to get through it, you know. But what I will say about Utah ag producers is they're a resilient bunch. They've done this before. They don't quit for any reason, and they'll make it through the other side of this, but it's economically devastating. It's emotionally, there's a toll that this takes on them, and it's a hard thing. And so we want to be there along with our agency partners and do what we can to minimize the hurt and minimize the hard. But even with that, it is going to be hard, and they're going to have to make tough decisions, and breeding programs that have been in place for 30 years are going to be set back if cows have to go to market because they can't afford to feed them. So there's difficult choices, and we just hope that we can get our producers through, that they can survive this. And there's always next year in ag, right? And it's always going to be better. That's the eternal optimism of the farmer, and they're relying heavily on it this year.
Operationally, then, what can farmers do? We hear a lot about alfalfa, so let's talk about that. Alfalfa requires a lot of water, but it's also flexible. It's a drought-tolerant crop. You can cut two times in a year instead of four and still make it with an alfalfa crop.
Exactly. You know, that's what's people underestimate alfalfa. Alfalfa came out of the Middle East. It is a very, very drought-adapted plant. The amazing thing about it is when alfalfa has water, it'll grow and grow prolifically and quickly, quicker than just about anything. And when it doesn't have water, it'll just kind of persist and live. And so, you know, we even have guys that grow alfalfa dry land and harvest it without any irrigation water at all, and they can still sometimes get, on a good year, 2 tons to the acre. And like you say, if they run out of water, that's why it's planted in a lot of our places in Utah, is because we rely on springs and streams that are snowmelt derived. And typically that water runs out in July or August sometime on a normal year. When they have water, they can take advantage of it. They can grow a lot of alfalfa. And when they don't have water, they don't lose their crop because alfalfa can go dormant and it'll wait till next year. And that's why so many of our farmers and ranchers make that decision, is because it has inherent built-in flexibility. If they have water, it'll produce more. If they don't have water, they can still grow it. They can get something. They can get revenue and a product that they need from their ground, but they don't lose a crop. I mean, if you run out of water with a corn crop, you lose the crop. You don't harvest anything. And so that's why so many of our ranchers and farmers use alfalfa. It's very well adapted to where we are.
There's also markets for alfalfa, and prices, I understand, are way up, but it's what you can get at any price. So how does that affect the local market for alfalfa? You can sell all you can produce, you just can't produce as much.
Yeah, and so it drives prices up. You know, last year there was a glut of hay on the market, and as I drove the state, you saw hay barns full of hay. Right now, the hay barns are all empty. Everybody that can find feed is buying feed at any price because they don't think it's going to be available, and they don't know how far they're going to have to truck it in. And so they have to change their mindset. But at the end of the day, you know, our large economic driver in agriculture in Utah is livestock. And our livestock, alfalfa is an excellent protein and feed source for those livestock that are raised. And it's what we supplementally feed with. It's what makes our livestock industry viable. Because not all of our ranches have range or pasture that they can be out on all the time. And so alfalfa is the bridge they use to feed their animals, to get them through feed shortages. And so obviously, there's less feed on the landscape this year they're looking for alfalfa. If they have it, you know, some of our ranchers would normally have a glut of alfalfa, more than they can use with their cows or with their sheep or with their horses or whatever, and they sell it. This year, many of them aren't going to have that opportunity. So that's part of the economic hit I'm talking about. They're something that they normally sell and might get tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars for. Instead, they have to keep it just so they can keep their cow herd alive. But, you know, the one positive in all of agriculture right now is that cow prices, calf prices are at historic highs. That helps. That gives our producers a little more money to buy hay, gives them some flexibility they wouldn't have. If we were at the bottom of the market and had this drought hit, it would just exacerbate and make things worse.
Now, how about export? Utah does export alfalfa, but is that the first thing to go when the market is tough like this?
We export when we have a glut. We're not going to export a lot this year.
So what is available to farmers who are growing alfalfa, won't have the crop this year that they've had in the past? Commissioner Pearson mentioned some low-interest loans.
Yeah, at the department, we have some loans in anywhere that's where a disaster is declared, whether that's by the county, by the state, or by the federal government. Within 6 months of that declaration, farmers and ranchers can apply for a emergency loan through us of up to $100,000. And for the first 2 years, that loan is interest-free. It has no origination fee. It's a seven-year term. And the last 5 years of the loan, the interest rate is only 2.75%. So that can provide a bridge. We also have our partner agency, the Farm Service Agency at the United States Department of Agriculture, that has LRP and ELAP. They're different programs that can help with defraying the cost of hauling water or hauling hay in excess of what you would normally haul hay. Or even if you have to haul your cows to feed, say you have a friend or know of somebody in Kansas, and you have to freight the cows out there to put them on pasture, it can help to defray those costs and reimburse you for some of those costs. So we've been encouraging, and we've had our partners come in and encourage them to learn about these programs, learn what is available to help them make it through this hard time. And is it perfect? No. Will it cover all of their losses? Absolutely not. But it is something to give them a little hope, to give them some money to hopefully make a bridge to make it through this.
In the meantime, what can they do? Farmers who raise livestock might have to sell some of it off?
They might. You know, if they can't find feed or hay, you know, pasture or hay that they can put their stock on, they're going to cull heavy. They're going to take their old cows, their 10-year-old old and older cows. They'll cull them. Any cows that didn't have a calf, they'll get rid of those. They just have to look at that. And that was one of the things at these drought meetings. We had USU's economists, and they've built a spreadsheet and are making it available to producers to work through those decisions using their own costs, their own inputs. When should I sell a cow? When should I keep a cow? When can I afford to feed her? And how long can I afford to feed her hay before it becomes a losing proposition? So a great tool, and those USU economists, you know, those professors are willing to help our producers go through that with their own numbers, not on generic numbers, but on their own input costs, on their own operation, and take the time to help them have the information to make the right decision on their operation.
How about dairy operators? What are their concerns?
Well, dairy's in much the same situation, except milk isn't at all-time highs. It's at a low price. And so all of their input costs are going up. You know, fertilizer, fuel, feed, everything is up, but milk is not up commensurately. So that makes the bind even tighter and makes it just harder to stay in the dairy industry.
Well, we've talked a lot about alfalfa, but what are the other crops that are being affected now by the lack of irrigation water?
Well, you know, every crop. We talked to some farmers in San Pete County. They're getting 10% of their normal irrigation allotment. That means that you no longer have the option to plant corn. You probably don't have the option to finish your grain with water. So it means there's just going to be less production overall. If you have fruit trees, if you only get 10% of your water, it's going to be a struggle just to keep your fruit trees alive. And then on top of that, we had a frost that wiped out most of what we're hearing. Our fruit crop is just gone due to the freeze.
Now, sadly, that doesn't save water. Even when you have a freeze, you still have to irrigate the trees.
You do, because they have to be maintained and kept alive so that hopefully next year when we don't have a freeze, they can produce again. So it's a squeeze on everything, because most of our crops depend on water, except for our dry land farmers. You know, and timely rains can really make a difference. And if we can get rain, and if we're united in our faith and the rains come, it can help our irrigated guys too. But it's hard to have hope. I mean, I guess we should all be carrying around umbrellas and wearing our galoshes, because we know it's going to rain. We need to show that kind of faith and that kind of hope.
All right. And where can people go to find out more then?
You know, the great place for the USDA programs, the United States Department of Agriculture, is farmers.gov. That's the entry gate to all of USDA's programs. That's a fantastic resource. For us at the Department of Ag, it's ag.utah.gov. That's our website. All of our programs in the department, from the water optimization, Ag VIP, the grazing improvement program, all of those programs are on our website. Those are probably the two websites that I would publish and let people know. In addition, we're going to record the meeting in Tremonton tonight. We will post it on our website and put it on the web so that anybody that wasn't able to attend any of these five meetings will get the information. We're going to publish that video sometime early next week. We'll have a link to it, and it'll be available for producers to see. So even if they haven't been able to make it to one of these five meetings, we think the information is valuable. We're going to get it out in a format that where they can view it.
All right. And where can they find this calculator that you were discussing?
We're going to post it on our Utah Department of Agriculture website, and then USU is working on getting it published on their own website. You can also talk to Dr. David Sechrist and Dr. Ryan Larson. They're the two, along with another economist, that put it together. You can call them directly, and they will send it to you. And not only will they send it to you, they'll go through it with you one-on-one if you want to go through that spreadsheet on your operation.
Finally, farmers are always optimistic. There's always next year. But it's been a tough stretch. What are your feelings about that?
We worry about our farmers. The pressures are real. And we're looking at what can we do to give them the support that they need. You know, is there more that we can do in the suicide prevention world? Because the stresses are real, and they're hitting hard, and they've hit hard in consecutive years, and that's just taxing on people's psyche, and it's a hard thing. And so we don't want our farmers ever to feel alone. We want them to know that there's support and people that they can turn to and talk to and get through these hard times and get out the other side.
Deputy Agriculture Commissioner Troy Forrest has been traveling around the state meeting with farmers and ranchers who face shortages of everything from water and feed for animals to much higher costs for fuel and fertilizer. And to find out more about the planning spreadsheets he was talking about, you can reach out to Professors David Sechrist or Ryan Larson at Utah State University. Cows, Plows, and Things That Grow is the podcast service of the Utah Farm Bureau Federation. Our mission is to inspire all Utah families to connect, succeed, and grow through the miracle of agriculture. I'm Dan Bomas. Thanks for listening.